And just like any good ventriloquist, I can talk while drinking a glass of water.
Yeah.
Well, very good. He's not moving his lips either, folks.
Right. Yeah.
Listeners, you are listening to another exciting episode of Chewing the Scenery Horror Movie Podcast.
I'll say bottle of beer.
Bottle of beer. This is a podcast where we friends get together and talk about a horror movie, which we're going to spoil. But first, we'll talk about recently watched. We won't spoil those whatsoever. And we thank the Moonrays for giving us that song, Intro Creature Features, at the top of the show. You can find the music on Apple Music or Amazon, where you can buy it digitally, or say hello to them on Facebook, where they are the Moon-Rays. We are not professional critics. We are your hosts. I'm Richard. I'm here with Will.
Good evening.
And Julian.
Good evening.
All right. Well, we made it past the partial super not exciting eclipse.
Partial eclipse of the heart.
Yeah.
I only got partially hairy.
Right?
I only got partially cursed.
Somebody posted a thing where it said the duration of the eclipse and the duration of total eclipse of the heart were only off by about 2 or 3 seconds.
Ooh. Oh.
And then at the end of it, it said, you know what you need to do. I didn't do that. But anyway, that was last week. This week, we need to talk about recently watched again.
All right. What you watch?
Okay, I'll start it. This is kind of two of them less exciting, one of them more exciting. I started watching because, okay, Netflix, who asked you? Okay. It's like you hover on something to see like what year it was made or who's in it, and all of a sudden, ta-tong, it starts playing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like. You can't scroll past something. It's playing the trailer for you. If you decide to click into it and look at any information about it, it just starts playing. Did they do a focus group and ask any amount of people if they wanted this? Because
it's those killer robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Newsflash. Nobody wants this. That
I
being said,
I believe you can change the settings on that.
Can you?
I believe.
Okay.
You could at one time. I don't know if they got rid of that, but.
Well, because of that, I found out that Death by Magic looked vaguely interesting. So I decided, although it was probably somewhat bullshitty, I would probably watch it anyway.
So last time you watched a documentary about killer robots.
Yes.
You're just looking for things that want to kill you.
Things that want to kill us.
Yeah.
Well, this guy seems like he wants to kill himself. The way this goes is Drummond Money Coutts, who's a magician. He wants to visit places where magicians have died trying to do some illusion or trick and some stunt-like illusion and redo this dangerous thing. And because he loves magic and the you know, the...
But he hates his life.
Yeah, but he wants to die. I feel like there's some magic of editing going on in this show.
Uh-huh.
Because he's waving his arm out of this crate, and this is a spoiler. He's in a crate that's got chains around it, and I think he's escaping from a straitjacket inside of this crate, then needs to let himself out of the crate before the train hits him. And you see his arm moving, and then you see the train hit the crate, it explodes, and then ding, 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 he's on the back of the caboose waving at everybody as it goes by.
So you think there may be some bullshit involved in magic?
I think it's possible.
They could be lying.
I think David David
Copperfield.
David Coverdale from Whitesnake, you know.
Yes.
I don't think he's really spinning that mic stand.
No.
No, David Copperfield. I really don't believe that there's anything more than they pan the camera over to the fake forced perspective empty podium where the Statue of Liberty belongs. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's all that happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, they drop the curtain and it's gone. Well, they fly a helicopter through it. Well, this is the same thing. He does a lot of lead up where he goes and visits people in whatever little village or town or whatever, blows their minds with cool little, you know, close quarters magic, sleight of hand stuff. He's fun. He's not doing like the, hey, I'm spooky thing that David Blaine does.
Mm.
But this guy always has like a suit and he's, you know.
Top hat, pencil mustache.
He rides one of those old penny farthings into town. Anyway.
Or a flying carpet, depending.
Yeah.
He's got this huge servant and a leopard skin and a fez.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, he does a thing where they try and drown him in a car, like they're pumping water into it, rather than just pushing it into a lake.
Hmm.
And, of course, he shows up. The guy, I'm spoiling everything. He shows up dripping wet in the crowd. Hey, everybody.
It's like, hey, Dr. Nick.
Yeah. So.
Did you watch Roadhouse?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that. But, well, I want to build up to it. So there's a new, well, it's not new. It's a 2022 movie, but it's new to me. Bryan Cranston and Annette Bening are in a movie called Jerry and Marge Go Large. And this is about a guy who was working at like the cornflakes factory or something. And he's really good with just figuring out numerical stuff in his head. And at one point he's looking at the odds on this lottery, and I don't know if he's looking at the flip side of the ticket or the little slip you use to get your ticket, and he sees something that seems to him that there's a loophole, there's a flaw that he could exploit.
Wow.
It's totally fair to do. So when the lottery reaches a certain point, it does a, I think they call it a turn down or something, and then you're able to play for the $1 million if you hit three or more numbers or something like that.
Okay.
You can win the $1 million instead of hitting five numbers. I don't know, but he figures out that you would only need to fill out so many hundreds of slips to probably hit, you know, whatever jackpot it was.
Yeah.
So he starts doing this and making money, and then he kind of gets, you know, it's a very friendly small town. He gets all the people of the small town involved. And then there's some snotty kids from like Harvard or something that start figuring it out too. And it goes from there, but it's one of those heartwarming yet kind of funny, kind of charming movies. And it was, you know, it's a 96-minute movie. You know, it did
what, just about perfect.
It did what it was going to do. It entertains you and kind of amuses you and makes you care a little bit about the characters. Not the same piles of money he was making as Heisenberg in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, he made you nostalgic for that. I saw Jake Gyllenhaal on a few late night shows being interviewed, and I was like, damn, this Roadhouse remake looks like it might actually be pretty entertaining. And he looks like he's pretty funny in it. And it's more of a comedy than it is an action movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if they bill it as...
So it's a remake of the Patrick Swayze film?
Yes.
Or the Richard Widmark?
No, the Patrick Swayze one.
Yeah. Whom he worked with on Donnie Darko. And he's,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he said that, you know, Swayze was very kind and caring and took really good care of the other actors and helped them along. And he felt like this would not be taking anything away from him. This would actually be a really cool homage to do this remake and really care about it with a mm-hmm. bunch of people who really cared about it. And it's actually really funny.
Oh,
it's
okay.
More a comedy than it is an action movie, but the fight scenes are crazy.
The original was a comedy too, but I don't think it was intentional.
Although it may have been, it is so ridiculous they had to realize that, I mean, Dalton is a world famous bouncer and philosopher.
Right. And in this one, Gyllenhaal's character is Elwood Dalton, who's, he scams these kind of backroom brawls, you know, just by coming in and being like this MMA fighter, semi-retired or whatever. And as the story goes, there was a profound reason he got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, somebody tries to hire him to come to their little beachside roadhouse and get rid of some of the bad element that's only been getting worse lately. And they're not sure why, but all these bad guys keep showing up causing trouble. And it's kind of more than their staff can handle. And he's the guy that can handle it. And he kind of helps the other guys sort of, you know, get some moves. Like, here's a thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny. I think there's one particularly dopey character that is like really earnest, really kind of kind for being one of the bad guys and just dumb as a rock. I think he's my favorite character. Conor McGregor is in this.
Yeah.
Apparently he likes being naked or nearly naked, and he always walks like a crab.
And assaulting women.
And again, you mentioned that, and I still haven't looked that up. But yeah, he's not a hero of mine by any means, but he is. He's an entertaining part of the movie.
Yeah.
There were a few times where people accidentally got hit while making the movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was McGregor hit Gyllenhaal in the face. And, well, I guess you could put that on your resume.
Yeah.
I survived that. But 121 minutes. So it's a longer movie for you, Will. But
I just have to cut out half an hour.
Yeah. I mean,
TV edit.
Yeah. Yeah. TV edit minus the commercials. You're good.
Yeah.
I would say watch this. I think you'll be entertained.
Yes, I meant to watch this and then I forgot.
Yeah.
And I debated if I wanted to watch the original again and then compare the two.
Yeah, it's been a lot of years.
I think I've seen the original enough times to remember it.
Yeah, if you ever had like TBS or TNT, it was probably on every other weekend.
Uh-huh.
So.
It's so bad. You should watch it.
I've just seen the Noir Roadhouse. I've not seen the Swayze one.
That's not the same kind of story?
No. Well, no.
Just same title.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was it for me for recently watched. And who wants to go next?
Okay.
Julian?
I watched a couple more Jose Larraz movies. He did Vampires, which I really like. So I checked these out. And first one I watched was The Golden Lady from 1979. Larraz himself called this, quote, one of the worst films I've ever been involved with.
Wow.
It's basically Charlie's Angels, but with blood and sex, which sounds like it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
The music makes it sound like exciting things are going on. And it's all filmed in grotty late 70s London.
Ooh.
Opening theme song is by The Three Degrees. End song is by Charles Aznavour. And around about the middle, there's this disco scene with a performance by Blonde on Blonde and Hot Gossip.
Oh.
Hot Gossip, do you know who they are?
I've heard of Hot Gossip.
They're on a lot of TV variety shows at the time in Britain, but they dress up in various like shiny versions of fetish gear and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Like in this movie, like the first one comes on dressed as this schoolgirl, and then there's like the, you know, various leather kings and but that's the most entertaining bit of the movie. The poster says she's hot, she's the female James Bond. And you've got this cameo by Desmond Llewellyn. He's in this movie for about as long as it takes to say Desmond Llewellyn. It's terrible. And then I watched El Miron from 1977. Larraz was proud of this one. It's well made. It's somber. It's about after 8 years of marriage, Roman realizes he's a voyeur and he pressurizes his wife Elena to play along, but she's not into it. But she's like subject to pressure from everybody, like his mother who lives with them. She says, oh, you should be a good wife. The neighbors say, oh yeah, you should play along with variety in your marriage. And of course he's piling the pressure on her and she's not into it. She's played by Alexandra Bastide, who's she's really good. And if you don't recognize the name, if you know your Smiths mm-hmm. album covers, she's on the cover of Rank, which is their last album.
Okay.
Yeah, it's no fun to watch. It's a good movie.
Oh, okay.
Then we watched a Chinese take on Zatoichi called Eye for an Eye, The Blind Swordsman.
Ah.
Oh, really?
From 2022, directed by Bing Jia Yang. This has got, you know, it's got the basic story, like, turns up at a town, there's this woman in trouble, there's this evil gang. Yeah. And the Zatoichi movies are models of, like, efficient storytelling. You know, in the first 10 minutes, you know who everyone is, all the motivations, everything you need to know.
Yeah.
This one, for some reason, they wanted to do the most convoluted storytelling for no reason. It doesn't. It's not profound or anything.
Yeah.
So we start with one narrator, then we go back to her tragedy. Then after a bit of that flashback, there's a flashback in that flashback.
Oh, yeah.
Then after a while, we're back to where the movie started, but we don't hear from that narrator again until the end of the movie.
I love it.
And it's got good martial arts in it. Like the lead played Jet Li's son in a bunch of movies.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't recommend this one.
No.
And then talking of magicians,
mm-hmm.
Watch The Prestige.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
2006, Christopher Nolan, you seen this one?
Yes.
Excellent movie. You got Hugh Jackman, Christian Bale, Scarlett Johansson, Rebecca Hall, Michael Caine, Piper Perabo, David Bowie, Andy Serkis, Ricky Jay.
God, Bowie was in there.
Yeah, he plays Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
It's great when they do the reveal on him. And when he's in Colorado, he walks through his bolts of electricity.
Yes.
Oh, it's great. So this is shot mostly in Los Angeles and Colorado, but it's mostly set in London, mm-hmm. turn of the last century. Gets quite gothic horror. Great cast. I was especially impressed by Rebecca Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Like the most subtle changes, and she's like different emotion. Yeah, really good.
I remember liking this one. Yeah,
enjoy that one a lot. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, this week I watched Vicious Series 1. This is a British comedy sitcom with Ian McKellen and David Jacoby?
Yeah.
Jacoby? I don't remember what his name is now. But they play an old gay couple that are sniping at each other constantly. But they're fun enough, you know. I think it gets better as it goes along. I watched most of it, so it must be okay. they have some great lines, and Ian right. McKellen's great. It's
just, yes.
He can cut someone down just perfectly. Yeah. And then I watched terrible, terrible movie, Soul Taker. Anybody seen this? With mm-hmm. Joe Estevez and, what's that name?
They couldn't
Robert
afford,
Dazar.
They couldn't afford Dazar. Martin Sheen.
Dazar, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a group of kids get killed on a drunken drive home, and Joe Estevez is the Grim Reaper, and he holds some sort of glowing ring in his hand and takes souls of those who've died. Okay. So they have like 12 hours to get back to their hospital into their bodies.
All right.
You know? Yeah, it's pretty bad. Then I watched a weird one, Truth or Dare, not the Madonna film. But this was a horror movie. I forgot to write down when it came out, but I'd say late 80s. Wow. I don't know what the fuck this movie was about.
So it was a lot like Nightbreed.
A lot like that. Yeah. A guy who is a killer. Yeah, I can't even
begin to describe it. I can't remember enough of it. It was just stuff happens and then other stuff happens. Okay. And after a while, it wraps up.
This is a Tubi experience.
I think I saw this. I must have seen it on a Tubi or Freevee, one of the two. And then I watched a really good movie from 2021 called Red Rocket. This is a Sean Baker movie. He made Florida Projects and a couple other little films. This is a movie about a guy named Mikey, who the film opens with him sporting numerous bruises, riding a Greyhound bus, and he gets off in this little Texas oil refinery town called Texas City. And he walks to his ex-wife's house and knocks on the door and asks her if he can stay there. Then he just, he had to leave L.A. And then you find out that he's a former porn star. And his wife was also a porn star. And he is, like, charming and completely despicable at the same time. He constantly talks himself up. He's really optimistic about the future. He's just kind of spinning his wheels as he's trying to get some more money together. And he meets a girl at the donut shop who's 17, who he thinks, oh, she could be the next porn star. She could be my way in. And wow, it is. This is a movie I loved. I don't think I can recommend it to anyone because the characters are so despicable. At least Mikey. Everybody else around him is various levels of despicable, but most of them are okay people. I really enjoyed it. Kind of a black comedy in ways. Shot on 16 millimeter, blown up to 35, so it looks nice and grainy. Mm. Some beautiful shots in it.
Tarantino recommended that years ago for like any filmmaker on a budget who wanted to just shoot something but wanted it to be on 35 millimeter.
Shoot it on 16, yeah. Blow it up. Yeah.
That's what he said.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
So I recommend it with caution. If you're someone who's going to whine because the main character's not good or likable, don't watch it. If you need your movies to moralize for you, don't watch
this. Yeah, I watch movies to tell me what to think and how to behave.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is definitely not it. It feels, it feels like sort of low-budget independent cinema from the 70s.
Oh, cool.
Or so, the characters are sort of complex. The story, you feel like you're watching a monster movie from the monster's point of view at sometimes. But then at other times, you're like, I kind of want this guy to get away with it, especially near the end. And you're like, wait, what am I saying? So, yeah, Red Rocket.
What's that one?
Prime.
All right, so that's it for Recently Watched?
It's 2 hours and 12 minutes, so...
Oh, and you liked it.
And I liked it.
There's wow.
Yeah, so you know.
High marks.
Yeah.
Well, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
If that's it for Recently Watched, let's talk about this movie.
Okay.
Satanic Hispanics. I'd heard this mentioned a few times, didn't know anything about it, except that one thing I had completely forgotten until I started watching it was that Demian Regna, who we'd covered two of his movies so far, is it When Evil Lurks?
When Evil Lurks. Yes. Yeah. And
Aterrados, Terrified.
Terrified, yeah.
Yeah. So this, I seem to remember Mike Mendez and someone else was involved. And did not know or did not remember that it was an anthology.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, God, I got to pick something. Here's one that I remember wanting to check out. So I clicked on it and started watching it. Before I tell you what I think, I want to ask you guys, how was your experience with it?
I liked some of the stories. I did not like others.
Julian?
I really liked Rugner's one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could definitely tell which one was his. Cause,
it felt like his.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the vampire one, although it is too long.
Yeah, and very silly.
I didn't mind the silliness. I kind of liked that. It made me think of a Santo movie or something. You know?
The character is very vulnerable and having a comically bad time. Yeah.
But yeah, it did go too long.
Yeah. So not knowing it was an anthology, I was wondering where was this thing going? And then it switched and I was like, oh, I'm watching an anthology. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And it's like, this guy, why do I know this guy? The Traveler. I'm just looking at his face going, he's got these kind
of... Feel like you needed to vote for him?
Maybe? Yes, I did. I wanted to do a dance routine to help get people involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the guy who played Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
So, that was really Efren Ramirez.
Yes.
He played the Traveler. And it was like, this guy is so deadpan and like... Some crazy shit happened. He was trying to chop off his own hand when the cops stopped him. And now he's in this interrogation room. What's going on? And this massacre at the beginning of the movie, you're like, wow, I don't understand who's massacring whom and why. But here's a survivor and he's going to start talking. And he's kind of, not that it was at all similar, but it kind of gave the vibes of True Detective where you're talking to Matthew McConaughey's character. And he just does not give a shit.
Yeah.
And he just knows he doesn't really need to worry about being there. And I'm getting these vibes off this guy. But it's not like he's dead inside. It's like he just really isn't worried, doesn't care. And he's just talking. And I think when it came back around to him after the first segment was over, I was like, oh, yes, Pedro. I know this guy. That's why I know his face.
Yeah.
He was like 30 when they made Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, he didn't look any older. Maybe he really is a traveler.
Yeah, maybe this guy does not age. So we get, what is it? Is it five stories?
Yes, six including the wraparound.
Yeah, yeah, if you count, yeah. And you can count the wraparound if it is delivering some story. The wraparound.
Well, it does number them as chapters.
Yeah.
So it counts the wraparound as one and six.
Yeah, I guess it does. Yeah, because it does have enough story in it. There are some wraparounds that don't really, but this one does. So which ones entertained you the most, Will?
I like the, I don't know the title, but chapter two, the algorithm.
Tambien Louis.
Yeah. I like that one. I thought it had some nice atmospheric work and that it's sort of creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was weird. Like, and which director was that? Do we know?
Was that
Demian Ragna?
Yeah, that was Demian Ragna.
Yeah, I assumed that was him. Okay.
Yeah, you can tell there's like the poster of Terrified as a sticker on the back of his laptop.
Okay. I missed it.
I missed that too.
Yes. I like that one a lot, and I like the the vampire one.
Yeah. Chapter three is El Vampiro, which is directed by Eduardo Sanchez, who you know from Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
And then...
And I liked it was set at Halloween, and you got a vampire dressed as a vampire. The bit that made me laugh was the his phone. For his facial recognition, he has to mug. Let's do this, like, Bela Lugosi pose in the phone. He kills clowns and a dude who rides a scooter on the pavement. So I was rooting for him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This this particular story I thought was funny because, you know, he's this ancient vampire and you think that they've amassed wealth and wisdom and everything. And he doesn't have a grasp on daylight savings time.
Yeah, he's really good.
Nor has he learned how to drive a car.
Right. Yeah, which... His vampire that he created is like, you should have let me teach you by now.
Yeah.
He's just not interested.
And it's quite moving. You've got this couple and they've been together for decades. And,
yeah. Yeah, 170 something years or whatever it was.
So
yeah.
My first two notes in this movie were number one, hand violence.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. There's a lot of it.
Well, Ziggy wouldn't like this movie.
No, because it starts out with Ramirez like chopping his own hand, yeah. The traveler chopping his own hand.
And then you get hand violence in the vampire one.
And the algorithm one.
Yes, in the algorithm one, you have broken fingers.
Yeah, the guy, his fingers end up broken backward, like really bad. He's not going to be solving any Rubik's Cubes that way.
No.
And my second note was, didn't understand the ending, and that just cropped up again and again. Like the ending of the vampire one, they die in this skip, but the skeletons, and then it zooms in on the hands of the skeletons, and they've got wires between the joints.
Yes.
So they're obviously like lab skeletons.
Yeah, and then there was a ring on one of the fingers.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just...
But why zoom in on the fact that
they probably didn't skeletons? Think it was going to show.
I don't know, yeah. But
it's lit and it zoomed in on.
And there's no reason to.
I thought that was
a
gag. Yeah, I didn't understand it.
Yeah, because the guy who's throwing the trash in the dumpster says, fucking Halloween.
So I thought, is he thinking they're fake skeletons?
He thought they were fakes, but
so I didn't get that.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to the traveler and his hand bandage is back on. He's unwrapped his hand to show that he's got no injury, but then it's back on and then it's back off the next time you see him.
It's got to be continuity error. Like
maybe they shuffled the order.
Yeah, they might have shuffled the order. That would be my best guess.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Anyway, chapter four is Nahuales.
Yeah.
Which are Mayan spirit animal shapeshifters, and this one's directed by Gigi Sol Guerrero, and she directed one of the stories in an anthology called Mexico Barbaro. Which I really liked. That was more of a...
I remember that one, yeah.
Stronger
anthology.
I watched that too.
Yeah. I think we reviewed it for the show.
Yeah.
I think so.
This one's got more hand violence. And again, I didn't understand the ending.
Yeah.
You got a man running for office who does a deal with the CIA. And then it turns out he's also done a deal with the Nahuales, which has resulted in the deaths of his family and the Nahuales family.
Yeah.
I guess.
I didn't quite understand what was going on. I think it could be expanded on. It may be an interesting story with those sort of characters, but, I was confused with that one.
Yeah, I didn't get any clear read on it either, which is, the criticism that I see for this movie includes some of that. I thought it was going to be serious throughout. I was like, chapters. Okay, this is an anthology. And then I thought, it's going to just be like serious, weird, gory, crime-ridden, dangerous things. And we got El Vampiro.
normally in anthologies, you get one that's more comical than the others, but this has got two.
Yeah, Hammer of Zanzibar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt it could have used one or the other, but not both.
Didn't like the Hammer of Zanzibar one.
I didn't. Did not fit the rest.
Yeah, I would agree.
So the next one is Hammer of Zanzibar, which is Alejandro Brugues, who did Juan of the Dead.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Again, didn't understand the ending. Does Malcolm turn out to be a shooter? Is he crazy? Or did the demons win? I don't know. I didn't think it was funny that the Hammer of Zanzibar is this huge dildo.
Yeah,
that was weird.
It was just a bit of homophobic humor, I guess.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what the intention was there because it didn't really seem to fit. Why would it be a phallus?
Yeah.
It wasn't like it had anything to do with reproductive issues or anything. It was just like, hey, look, it's dick shaped. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Like, are we 14? Well, sometimes we are. But...
the cast was good, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that one, that I think should have been cut. Mm-hmm. That entire.
Yeah. You could do a
chapter.
Do a fan edit. Yes.
Well, a fan edit, I'd cut the whole movie. Put something else on. When Evil Lurks Again.
So what did work for you was the darker stuff and the lighter stuff?
I preferred the darker stuff, but I can agree that one of the stories should be lighter than the others.
Sure. Okay.
You know, I think that could work. I think the vampire one was...
Yeah, if that was edited down.
Yeah, if it was shorter, you know, it would have been a good little, you know, maybe you put it right before the end, so you get a little bit of a laugh maybe before it gets really gory again, and you wrap up the wraparound.
Yeah, I did like the fact that the vampire could only hypnotize one cop at a time.
Yes.
He had to keep going back and forth between the two cops.
Yeah, but it went on so long.
Yeah, but yeah, that should have just been like for a few seconds and then he runs or something.
Yeah, he does it a couple of times and then he makes one shoot the other or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of suicidal gun violence in the police station too.
Oh, they love killing cops in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of cop killing in this movie.
Wow. Yeah, so part six is San La Muerte. And I like the look of the creature when it goes into its Aztec form.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that was cool. It looked like a stone carving or something.
Yeah. I don't know how it didn't wrap things up, and I don't know. I didn't understand the traveler.
I think he was just there to be a wraparound.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. And then he gets picked up at the end.
Yeah. And he's seen all this stuff somehow.
Yeah, he's heard these stories. I don't know, because he's not involved in any of them. Mm-hmm. And one of them, the Novales, he says he showed up after it was all over. So, you know.
Yeah.
And the vampire one, although it was all right, it didn't really fit in anywhere. He was kind of like, oh yeah, let me tell you a vampire story while I'm at it.
Yeah, it's like, you want to hear a vampire story? Here's one. And it was just sort of wedged in there. It's interesting though, like you do get some people who are kind of panning this, but overall, on Rotten Tomatoes, which is an aggregator and...
aggravator.
Yeah. Based on 35 reviews, it gets a 91% rating.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah. But Brittany Witherspoon of Film Threat rated this 5 out of 10. Matt Donato of Slash Film rated the movie 7.5 out of 10. Megan Navarro of Bloody Disgusting awarded the movie 3.5 skulls out of 5. Simon Abrams of RogerEbert.com gave this 2 stars. So
out of 4? Out of 5? Out of 10?
I think it's 5.
2 stars out of 215?
2 stars up. It's of RogerEbert.com.
2 stars up.
Ali Deek of MovieWeb awarded the film 4 stars out of 5. So it's getting as much favorable as unfavorable. I think it really kind of maybe depends on where you're coming from as either a movie watcher or a horror fan or both. Like, because we know some of these directors.
Yeah, I've seen films by all of these people, and I prefer all the other work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe it's not the easiest thing in the world when you've done feature-length stuff a lot and it's all your singular vision. Maybe it's hard to go in and be like, all right, I'm going to do a 15-20 minute short for you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not easy.
Well, Guerrero's done anthologies before.
Has he?
Yeah. I think she.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was the one you mentioned.
Yeah, Mexico Barbara. I think she did one of the VHS ones.
Yeah, I believe she did.
Let's see who else we got.
Which one was it?
You know, I think Demian Rugna has done some shorts that maybe, and you know, we can maybe have a quick look at that.
And if you're a film student, then you've probably done your shorts.
Yeah, I would assume. All right, let's see. What has this guy done as far as shorts? Let's see.
Gigi Guerrera, off the top of my head, she did El Gigante. I think she did one of the Angry Birds movies.
Really?
Yeah, and then she did the last story in Mexico Paparo. Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Where? You know, sometimes you go to a Wikipedia page and they've got a filmography, and sometimes they don't. But anyway, yeah, most of these directors have probably done shorts as students, but, you know, sometimes, like your favorite, Oculus and Babadook, I think those were both shorts before they became feature lengths.
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, you felt like they both should have stayed that way.
Yes.
But that's a good example, though. I mean, like you can take that idea and do a 20, 30 minute movie and get the idea across. But when you're, you know, a writer director, you probably want to do the feature length.
Yeah. Evil Dead pulled it off.
Yeah. So,
What was that? What was the short version of that called?
Let's see. Within the Woods.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That, kind of launched the whole thing, didn't it? 1978.
Yeah.
Back when things weren't easy for filmmakers. You know, you couldn't easily make or rent things the way you can now. You can buy mold making goop and make anything now.
Mm-hmm.
And not even be that good at it, and you can get something done. No more clay hands filled with Bosco. Anything in particular, effects-wise, that worked for either of you? I know you mentioned the Aztec god looked pretty cool.
Yeah, the makeup on the Noales was good.
Yeah. The thing under the table was creepy and gross, and gave it away as who the director was right then and there.
Oh, yeah. If you wondered, that told you right there.
Because I was like, oh, I think this must be his story. And then they show that, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is his story.
Did any of you freeze frame to see what they saw in the mirror?
No.
I was able to see that it was an old lady.
Yeah, I saw it. Oh, it's creepy.
Yeah,
it was creepy.
And because you're set up for disappointment several times, mm-hmm. and then you see it.
Yeah.
And it was like, you knew that was Rugna because... this character is losing his mind more and more as he tries to get what he wants,
right?
And thinks he's seen it, and then you've got the food delivery person.
And then you've got the rules that he knows for some reason.
Yeah,
you know, which seem to come up in his movies. Is evil has some sort of rule or lore behind it that everybody just knows.
Yeah, and it is something to do with the color.
The colored lights, because he switched it with a Rubik's Cube. Yeah.
You're kind of buying into it, and it's like this beautiful misdirection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and the I do love how podcasters are always just sort of dismissed as being weirdos and losers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scammers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Happens in a lot of movies. But the podcaster guy, I think it was Paranormal Podcaster Guy, comes back.
Yeah.
Because he's like, that was my mother. And he didn't believe it. He thought it was a trick, but then he found out that his mother had just died.
Yeah.
And then the goopy thing under the table looked like his mother to him.
Yes.
Ew. Like, having your reality warped in front of you, I think, is sometimes pretty effective, pretty good thing in a movie. There are times where it's just like, all right, if we, the audience, don't know what's real anymore, and you've shown us back and forth four or five times, I stop caring after a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
So you can switch it back and forth.
Yeah, it's all just a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you can switch it back and forth like two, maybe three times.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, hey, I stopped caring. But this one, it was like, the dude was like, that's not your mom. Let go of that goopy thing. effects worked on some of the stuff. The clowns in the vampire one, pretty good severed head, pretty good severed arm. The one cop wasn't buying it at first, until he tasted the fake blood, realized this it was real.
This is syrup?
Yeah. This is real blood. Ew.
Yeah. You had to smell that.
Yeah, but, you know, you get that, you know, pretty decent severed clown head, and then at the end you can see the wires on the skeleton's mm-hmm. fingers. Yeah. That just doesn't fit for me. It's like, you know, you got to, like, completely coat that shit so you don't see the wires.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so things that worked for me were the effects on some of these. Mm-hmm. What was the one with the witch doctor woman?
Nohales,
yeah. Yeah, that character did look pretty real, yeah, weird.
She was into it.
Yeah, yeah. She was really leaning into it as an actor. The contact lenses looked pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You could see that they were lenses, but still it made her eyes look crazy. And just that muddy witch doctor look, that really worked.
Yeah, it was a good costume.
Yeah. So I would say costuming and effects worked on a lot of this.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot worse anthologies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, by the end of it, I was pretty pleased that, you know, 3 out of the 6 stories, you know, worked pretty well for me.
Yeah. More or less, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, like I said at the top of the show, we're not professional critics. We don't care. We don't care about criticky stuff. You know, we care about, like, was it entertaining? Did we have a good time watching it? Can we tell a friend about it and not feel like they're going to hate us for recommending it? Listeners, we're not so worried about, but, you know. Anyway, anything else you want to say about it before we do the recommends?
I don't think I have anything to add.
I like the end song, Demolición by Los Psychos.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. This just reminds us once again, you know, that we get to look forward to every next thing that Demi and Ragna does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got this good handful of exciting new directors. Well, they're not even new anymore.
Yeah.
There's just good stuff coming out of
Latin America, yeah.
Directors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of recent films I'd recommend, like Mexico Barbaro, Terrified, The Wolf House, Huesera, When Evil Lurks.
Yeah.
They're all within the last 10 years.
Yeah. And we've got Guillermo del Toro. We've got Robert Eggers. We've got Jordan Peele. Like, a lot of these guys, you know, if they're going to live a normal lifespan, we're going to get a good handful of movies from each one of them, mm-hmm. you know, going forward.
Hope so.
Something to be excited about. Anyway, looking forward to Nosferatu.
Yeah.
I really can't wait to see that.
It's a campy musical.
Yeah.
You're going to be blown away.
Yeah. It's kind of a Fosse style.
Yeah, I hear the roller skating number is incredible.
Yeah. So, on that, recommends. Will?
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Yeah? Julian?
Yeah.
I recommend it as well. I'm going to say maybe there will be the odd viewer that will like every one of the stories and their mind is going to be blown.
Has there ever been an anthology where you like all the stories?
Me? No. I can't think of one.
Creepshow.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, Creepshow.
I think Creepshow may be it.
Yeah?
Well, I'd have to think about it, but
yeah.
I like, my favorites are Creepshow and Tales from the Crypt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always one that's kind of really lacking and another one that could be better and then the funny one. And
yeah.
Yeah, I would say we should probably look at that, you know, the anthology thing and see,
yeah.
Is there one that just kind of like hits all of them just right?
Yeah.
Can't think of it now, but maybe we'll revisit that at another show.
So that sounds good.
We got 3 recommends on this one. That's pretty good. All right, listeners, thank you for listening.
Stay off the moors.